KMSD, first Wednesday of the month. We check in with Dr. Jacqueline Carlson, Homestead Animal Health. My friends, it's time for another Pet Talk. It's always good to talk to you again. Happy 1st of October, even though it feels like we're still in August with the temperatures.
Right? Yes. It's a guessing game.
You know what? I was just thinking about this, too. I was just kind of getting ready for Pet Talk. You know, the critters, we haven't had anything close to a hard freeze, and you know, it's very important for us to remember heartworm and that sort of thing because, yeah, nothing's gone away yet.
Oh, boy, isn't that the truth? Yes, all the pests and bugs and creepy crawlies are still out there. And you bet those mosquitoes, boy, are they thick. So, right, like you said. And also you start thinking about, ooh, maybe it's hunting season. Well, I mean, it looks like it's probably going to cool down this weekend. But otherwise, I mean, really be cognizant of, right, I mean, it's still 80-plus degrees this week. And so heat stress, even though it's October, is still a factor and a concern.
Yeah, I think tomorrow is going to be mid-80s, and I think Friday is going to be upper 80s. And, yeah, that's not good on your dog running too much anyway. A little bit's okay. Too much, not really.
Right, right. So, yes, make sure that they are also in shape and ready for the activities.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not only make sure you're in shape, but make sure that your pet is in shape. Very good to go by. Well, I tell you what, it is a new month. We got to talk about keeping pets healthy because that's what we do. And, you know, a lot of candy going to be laying around because October is Halloween. And, I'm sure you have horror stories about pets getting into candy. I bet you have, like, dozens of those stories.
Yes, yes, I have received several phone calls through the years about things that pets have eaten. I will say, generally speaking, I mean, candy, you know, in the scheme of things, it's the rat poison and things that make me a little more nervous and excited. But yes, I mean, right, but candy can still absolutely be a problem. And so, it's not just us, but like the Pet Poison Helpline, which is based out of the cities, they see a 12% increase in calls just during the week of Halloween. Hmm. So, I mean, it's a problem. And I'd say I always feel bad. I know I've said this before, but like, oh, and when your dog eats the chocolate, not only am I worried about your dog, but I'm sad for you because then you don't get the chocolate.
Right. Right.
Oh, it's such a sad situation. But yes, I mean, so coming to the forefront of our mind when we think of Halloween, we think of, oh goodness, it's all that candy. And so, right, chocolate certainly can be detrimental to our pets. There's a wide variety of toxicity levels because there's a wide variety of chocolates. Is it a baker's chocolate bar that they happen to get into, or is it a Three Musketeers? And, you know, certainly the quantity that they consume. For the most part, be prepared for some vomiting and diarrhea, but chocolate also contains some compounds that can cause heart arrhythmias, agitation, seizures in really severe cases. So, right, it is concerning. But it's also not just the chocolate. Maybe your pet decides they're more into the hard candies and they consume a bunch of that. Well, that's a big glug of sugar for an animal that probably is not used to really eating much sugar. And so we can worry about things like pancreatitis as far as inflammation of that pancreas, which can be very uncomfortable. So a lot of abdominal pain, again, some vomiting, diarrhea, inappetence, but they can be really sick with pancreatitis. So, like I say, yes, chocolate, definitely concerning. And then maybe you've got a neighbor who's on the health kick and they're passing out little boxes of raisins or trail mix. Ooh, be careful with those raisins. No raisins. And that's, again, chocolate, there's kind of a wide variety of range with toxicity, but with raisins and grapes, unfortunately, we don't have quite that hard and fast number as far as, well, how many raisins is too many. Really, one raisin is one too many. So be careful for some of those other treats that may be laying about or, you know, in the candy bowl and things as well, not just the chocolate and candy, but, like, say, those trail mix and other things too.
And also know your pet, because we have a small dog who's we refer to him as a toddler because he will get into anything, even things that aren't food, and try to eat them. I mean, we love him, but as I've said before, he's just stupid. And he just, you know, And it's always a constant, and you have to be on guard 24/7. You have to know your pet, and if you have one of those pets who's like that, it's like, yeah, you just have to keep your guard up, and that's all there is to it.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, if you're taking, you know, your vitamins or your own medication and you happen to drop one, right, you really got to, you know, right, do it over the sink or the counter or
right.
something so there's a barrier before that hits the floor and, boom, in comes Fluffy to grab it and swallow it down quickly. And the other thing with some of those candies or, like, say, health supplements is, right, because they're, you know, they're healthy for you, they're sugar-free. Well, so they may contain xylitol. Our pets can't. Our dogs cannot metabolize that normally. It will drop their blood sugar. It can cause liver failure. So, again, sugar-free things, you know, again, beware as far as when your kiddos dump out their loot on the living room floor and start sorting through it. Exactly. Be on guard. Get the cats and dogs out of the living room.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, also, horse dental care before winter. Now, kind of take us through a little bit of that, why that's important to do before winter.
Yes. So we have been blessed by much rain this summer, as we all know. And mm-hmm. so our pastures and our lawns have been lush and green. I mean, really still are, which is, again, kind of unusual. But eventually our equine friends will have to start eating hay. And so hay is just not as, you know, obviously it's dried. It's tougher. It's not as digestible or chewed as easily. So you want to be especially aware of your horse's dental health going into winter when they're going to be switching their feedstuffs and roughages that they have to eat. One thing I want to clarify about horse teeth is you think, oh, they are not rodent teeth. In the fact that, yes, horse teeth will continually erupt through their lifetime, but rodent teeth continually grow. And so what that means, right, so those beavers, those rats, those things, I mean, they have to chew on things to prevent their teeth from overgrowing because they're constantly growing. With a horse tooth, they actually have a, you know, a distinct finite amount of tooth. And it, you know, it could be 3 inches long, and that just slowly comes down into their mouth as they age. So, yes, I mean, there's sort of backup tooth or reserve crown, technically, that, like, say, they have sort of in reserves, but there still is a limited amount. And so a lot of times, especially as our horses are living longer because we're taking better care of them and better nutrition and things, the horse can actually sort of outlive their teeth, meaning that all of the tooth that they initially have has all erupted and been worn down, and now they're just left with nubbins. And so that especially is good to be aware of and cognizant of that fact moving into winter because, again, we're going to be changing how we feed them and what they eat. Therefore, sometimes, I mean, there gets to be a point where, yes, hay is still important for them from a gut and digestive standpoint, but they might not be able to utilize or chew that hay as efficiently, and then therefore we need to be supplementing them with a grain, a concentrate, a senior feed, beet pulp, something along those lines that they can just more easily chew because digestion begins in the mouth, and if your mouth doesn't have teeth in it, that's going to be tough to get that digestion process started.
So I, full disclosure, know nothing about horses other than, you know, they're cool creatures. But I would imagine that it would be difficult with horses, especially if they had dental problems. That would kind of be a nightmare, wouldn't it?
Yes, and it is especially challenging because when you think about our cats and dogs, I mean, we can lift those lips, we can have them say, ah, and we can get a pretty decent visual on what their teeth look like. Well, our horses have a really large, long head, so a large oral cavity, but their actual mouth is pretty small. And so what we can sort of peek at, you know, is their incisors, maybe their first premolar. You know, you can kind of touch a couple of their teeth, but you really don't know what's going on in the back of their mouth because it's so far back there. I mean, and that's always kind of shocking to people when I say, hey, come over here and look at your horse's mouth. And they're like, oh, wow, like those teeth go way back there. I mean, yes, like say they have a large oral cavity and a little itty-bitty mouth. So that does make diagnosing and finding things more challenging. And like say, because you really, you've got to look, you've got to sedate, you've got to get your hand in there, your light in there, and really have a good look to know what is truly going on. And so that we can try to maximize the teeth longevity for this horse's life, You know, right, we don't want to just wait, oh, we're going to check their teeth when they're 20. No, I mean, good dental care all along so that we can identify, okay, are there problems? Are there extra teeth? Are there broken teeth? How are they wearing? We want to make sure that there's not sharp, painful points that are cutting into their cheeks or their tongue or then causing them to chew unevenly, and then it throws the mouth out of balance. And then that's where then we can see excessive wearing of teeth. They expire earlier than we really would like. And so, like I say, yes. Teeth are important for our horses, too.
So what goes into, I know you take care of horses. What goes into, like, a full horse physical? What are all the things that you have to do? Because we've never spent a lot of time talking about horses, but what goes into a complete horse physical? And this is just for my own personal interest level. You've piqued my curiosity.
Good question. So, much like with our cats and dogs, I still like to do kind of a nose to tail exam. With our horses, I would say, you know, 'cause some of them are companions, some of them are more performance horses, so their movement is very important. Are they sore? Are they lame? Are they using each leg appropriately? And so I like to see them move, watch them trot. Sometimes we'll do some circles. I want to assess from like a neurological standpoint, are they, you know, is their mentation appropriate? Do they know where their feet are? Are they placing them appropriately? Are their ears, you know, swiveling and listening? What do their eyes look like? Do they have, I mean, they can get cataracts, they can get corneal ulcers and problems, uveitis and things as well. Gum color, are they still nice and pink? What does their heart sound like? Horses can get heart murmurs as well. I like to listen to their guts because, as most of us know, horses love to colic, and so anytime we get some abdominal pain, so I want to listen to their guts. Listen to their lungs, make sure there's not crackles or wheezes. Take a little look around the hind end, make sure everything looks, you know, appropriate back there. What is there, you know, is there a bunch of manure caked in their tail because they have diarrhea? Is there, you know, any drainage from the back end, things like that? And then when it comes to teeth, this is where it, like I said, it varies greatly. So dentals for cats and dogs, they are under full general anesthesia. They're intubated, so they've got a tube in their airway so that we can protect their airway from, you know, all the saliva and the plaque and stuff that's flying around, as well as control anesthesia. In a horse, medication is still utilized, but we like to keep them standing because laying down and waking up a horse is a whole other ball game. So they are sedated, and then I rinse out their mouth. I put in an oral speculum that holds their mouth open so that I can safely put my hand and arm in there and feel each tooth. I can look at each tooth. I've got a dental mirror, again, so I can examine. And then, you know, when you go to the dentist and they're probing all those little perio pockets and, you know, sticking that little metal probe in your gums and it's kind of achy and things, I do that as well. I want to look for gum disease. Again, broken teeth. Do we have, the horses can get cavities as well. And so a full oral exam, see where we have some problems and what needs to be addressed.
So circle back around to pet toxins. What about the fruits and whatever falls from a tree? If you're out like walking your dog or something, are any of them toxins like whatever falls, like those apples or stuff? Because sometimes they get rotten.
Right. So there is potential that if they were rotten enough and your pet would consume enough, there's some fermentation that can go on, and certainly pets do not handle alcohol as nearly as well as people do, and so they can, their blood sugar can drop, they can become very sedate. They have to consume a large number of apples, because there's a compound in the seeds that can sometimes cause some toxicity. But I would say, you know, you had mentioned, Jeff, your own dog, eating things that aren't actually even food.
Right.
And so then we think about, okay, well, what about glow sticks and other things, you know, that as we're getting ready, prepping for Halloween and losing our daylight hours. So the compound in glow sticks itself is not toxic per se, but can cause a lot of oral irritation. And kitties, for whatever reason, really love to chew on those glow sticks and those little bracelets and things like that. So you can see a lot of drooling. You could potentially see some ulcers or irritation in their mouth and on their gums. So watch out for glow sticks. And then if you're really into, you know, setting the mood and decorating, perhaps you've got some candles out and about. And if they are real, you know, candles, we want to be sure that the pet, you know, our cat's not going to jump up on the counter and knock them off, or that as our dog's going by the jack-o'-lantern that their tail doesn't, you know, wave through the flame. So be careful with candles as well. And then everyone loves dressing up their pets in costumes, and so make sure that your pet is still visible should your pet go trick-or-treating with you or the kids. So, you know, a reflector on there, can they still see, make sure that, you know, just like with our kids, we want to make sure they can still see out of their costume and navigate safely. If your pet would happen to slip away, make sure they've got their ID on, you know, microchip inside as well, perhaps. And then make sure that they're not eating their costume as far as trying to chew off buttons or zippers or, you know, little doodads of sort. Because certainly we worry about, okay, well, are any of these, you know, are they metallic? Are they metal? Would anything be lead or could cause a physical obstruction? Just like, right, so again, circling back, not only do we have to worry about if your pet eats a bunch of chocolate, but they're not opening the wrappers either.
Right.
Right. They're just going to town. And so what we also need to be aware of then is, ooh, if there's a bag full of chocolates or candies that have been consumed with the wrappers, I mean, we could potentially have an intestinal obstruction from those as well. So, yes, it's not always just the edible things that we need to worry about.
For this and a whole bunch more, let folks know how they can make an appointment, get in to see you, keep their pets healthy, because that's what we're talking about.
Yes. Follow us on Facebook. Give us a call, 432-9501. Check out our website, homesteadanimalhealth.com. And be sure to, even though I kind of poo-pooed pet costumes just a moment ago, dress them up safely, take their picture, and send them all in. We love to have a little pet costume contest, so send us your pictures.
We can do it. Just do it responsibly. Just
That's
don't,
right.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. We appreciate it as always. Looking forward to talking with you in November. Have a great month. We'll check in then.
Sounds great. You as well.